Shut up and sit down.
Welcome back, everyone. This is another episode of the Scouting Report, Dynasty Happy Hours, the Scouting Report. I hope you enjoyed episode one. It seemed to went over really well. I think there was a lot of really quality response from the people that listen to Dynasty Happy Hour, and hopefully we can keep this going. This is something that really, as I mentioned before, started a few years ago, and I really like the way it's built to this point. This is something that is a brain dump for me. This is the culmination of what I usually write up. And in these early episodes, we're starting with just the basic information with everyone. We're going over just the lists of names of people you should know, and then we're going to refine it a little bit. Hopefully a couple of guys a week that we're going to break down a little bit further. But this is just an introduction, and in this episode specifically, we're going to be getting into the wide receivers. And this is such an interesting year because generally when you're looking at building your dynasty rosters, you love having those core wide receivers. And I actually have been making the recommendation that pedigree is important. That above all else, you want the big buy-in from the teams. You want those first and second rounders. Going too much later than second round, you start to get a little bit more of a question mark. So day two is generally where I start to draw the line with my wide receivers. Unless it's someone that that I'm infatuated with. That doesn't happen too often because I want the pedigree, especially in the wide receiver position. The running back spots, you can generally go a little bit later. Those are pieces that tend to move around a little bit more when you're talking about an NFL depth chart, and you can get those guys a little bit later in the draft. When you're talking about the wide receiver position, you have less turnover, so guys usually get a little bit more of a runway in terms of being able to actually get playing time. Look at Devon Austin. He's a first-round pick. He still has a good contract on an NFL team because someone believes in him. That might change this offseason, but it's still there. He was an early first-round pick by the Rams and could really move forward. People would still buy into him as a potential player that could break, maybe not break out, but have at least a decent season at some point in time. Imagine Tavon Austin on the Patriots. People would start going nuts and throw around picks that you would never think they would throw around on a Tavon Austin. So again, pedigree matters, and the wide receiver position usually gets a little less turnover than any other position. This list is going to have 11 players on it, but again, this is just going to be a very brief introduction to these players, some very basic notes. And I also think that something I didn't do last time, I wanted to talk about some of the basic qualities that I generally see in NFL players. Something I wanted to do this time that I kind of glossed over last time and will be going more in depth when I get into the specific player reports is what traits I look for when I'm evaluating a different types of players. So for the wide receiver position, the first question I always ask is, how does this player win? Are they going to win in the air, or are they going to be kind of that yak monster? Are they going to be someone who's focused on making the catch and breaking tackles, or are they going to be that high pointer? When I say a high point guy, I generally mean AJ Green, Dez Bryant, someone that's going to actually try to bully you through the air. When I think of a ground guy, I'm thinking a little bit more of a Golden Tate, so someone who's looking to really pick up those yards after the catch. Natural hands, does that person fight the ball? And do they have good catch radius? It's one thing if they have good hands, but if they can't really pull those hands out away from their body, that's really important. smoothness in and out of their breaks, acceleration, and explosiveness and play strength at the line of scrimmage. As far as any type of hands fighting or being able to get off press coverage, or even if they're not strong in their upper body to get off of press coverage, do they have the explosiveness to really develop that game? So those are just some of the very basic things that I look for when I'm looking at these guys. So the stuff you're really looking for, rookie wide receivers. We'll start at the top, Courtland Sutton. If you played Devy at all, Courtland Sutton's probably a name that you've been paying attention to for a while. Give credit to Nick Whalen. He's been right up there with Corey Davis. Courtland Sutton is a guy that he's been promoting very early on. So Courtland Sutton is coming out of SMU. Big time production. This past year, he fell off. They brought in a quality number two from LSU that actually gave him a little bit, I don't want to say run for his money, because everyone knew where the ball was going, but you did see the numbers dip slightly from 2016. Sutton put up 68 catches this season for over 1,000 yards and still had 12 touchdowns. So there, it's still nothing to sneeze at. He did go to school at SMU, so similar to Corey Davis, we have some of the competition questions. What you do need to love is that Sutton is a big, big boy, 6'4", 215. And he actually made the conversion from defensive back to wide receiver, and I personally love that. He's a guy that on that defensive side of the ball, you really learn an aggressiveness. You develop the ability to maybe bully a little bit more, and then going over to wide receiver, you still see that translation being made. But the one thing that I haven't heard too many people write about or talk about is that he's still a developing ball of clay. Sutton has plenty of overall attributes, whether it's his height, his overall build, very decent hands. He has smooth hips. But what I like most of all is that he's still a ball of clay that can be developed further. And that upside's really there for someone like a Courtland Sutton coming into the NFL. I don't like to say this is where you expect a guy to go, because that's guessing on my part. If you want that real information, you have to go to one of the people who are like a Matt Miller with Bleacher Report or any of those really big names that are actually tuned into someone with these NFL franchises, and I'm not. It's pure speculation right now, but if I am going to speculate on one person, I would guess it would be Sutton. There's going to be at least one, probably two wide receivers that go in the first round, and I'll get to the other one next. But Sutton, there's so many physical attributes, and there's so much to work with. He's probably going to be the first wide receiver off the board for me in terms of expectations. To jump to the next guy I expect to go earlier in the draft, not necessarily where I would put him, but where I expect him to go in the draft, would be Calvin Ridley, possibly even before Courtland Sutton. And that's pretty interesting to me. Going to Alabama, his best year was actually his freshman year. He had 89 receptions. And the reason that's important is that's before the Hurts saga really took off, and he had more of I don't want to say established quarterback, but he had more of a passing game to work with. As a freshman, he came in with 89 receptions and over 1,000 yards. Now, in 2017, even with Hurts as his quarterback for most of the season, he did still put up 63 receptions and almost 1,000 yards, which is nothing to sneeze at. My concerns with Calvin Ridley start with his body. Unlike Courtland Sutton, he's not an overt athlete. He doesn't bring that big size. If anything, I think he's a little bit undersized at 6'1", 190. That's just what he's listed at right now from where I get the information from. So hopefully by the time the combine rolls around, he's over 200. He's a technician, though. And I'm not going to say technician as in Antonio Brown or anything like that. One of my favorite parts about the actual NFL draft is that the player comps, what that they put up on the screen, every single player in the NFL draft is not going to be a superstar from the league. You can't turn around and put Calvin Ridley on Antonio Brown or whatever other thin-framed wide receiver you can imagine. But Ridley is a technician. He wins by routes. Unfortunately, he's won with his athleticism on the college level. And that may not necessarily translate when he goes to the NFL. And he's also really, really taken off because Alabama runs the ball so damn much. They run the ball all the time. And while that's not a bad thing, kind of the element of surprise can come from that. So you have a team that's running five times in a row, six times in a row, just because they can physically dominate you at the line of scrimmage. Sometimes that can make the corners play up a little bit and actually give a guy like Calvin Ridley the opportunity to get behind the defense. Moving on to maybe my favorite wide receiver in this class, and I like this physical style of nature to go along with some of the physical attributes, is James Washington from Oklahoma State. Another guy who has been producing early on. He's had at least moderate success since his freshman year. He's put the last two seasons, he's actually improved still significantly. He had 71 receptions in 2016 and 74 in 2017, but he had a difference of over 200 yards, and he was still improving in terms of touchdowns. He's only 6 foot, but he has a thick body, which I think is going to be pretty enviable in terms of what you're looking for in this draft class out of this type of position. When I'm looking at James Washington, I'm actually thinking of a Golden Tate type of player, but his style of play is actually so much different than that. He's a deep ball specialist, and when the connection that he seemed to have with his quarterback Mason Rudolph is something I actually hope he develops with his quarterback when he goes to the NFL. And that connection, you can really see the way they must work at it. And I hope the quarterback he ends up with is that anticipation type of thrower. When you listen to Greg Cosell talk about throwers, you have passers and throwers. So a passer to him is more of a person who can place the football, that can put it on the right or left shoulder. When you have more of a thrower, there's less anticipation, less touch. And I really feel like James Washington, if he had that passer, it would work out so well for him. So let's cross our fingers that he doesn't go to a guy like Blake Bortles or anything like that. He would match up really well with a guy like Kirk Cousins that is an anticipation type of thrower. Moving on next, I'll talk about kind of the big guys. And when I say big, this is even big compared to Courtland Sutton, which I mentioned a minute ago, and that's Auden Tate. He went to Florida State, and one of the major knocks on him throughout his time at Florida State, and you can definitely see it from his production, is injuries. Over the last 2 years, he's only had a total of 65 catches, which when you look at a guy like Courtland Sutton, who's had over 200 for his career, it is just puts a person in awe. But Auden Tate is such a physical specimen. I heard Chad Parsons actually make the comment and saw it on Twitter that if Kelvin Benjamin was a first-round pick, then Auden Tate should be a top 10. While I don't know if that's going to be the case, the physical attributes are still there with Auden Tate. He's a guy that is that guy who wins through the air, that can bully defenders. He has good hands. And as far as an athlete, so that guy that's going to transcend a little bit more because of the physical gifts that can't be taught, this is your guy. You see plenty of acceleration, plenty of physicalness and play strength off the line of scrimmage, the ability to get vertical, and you also see some nuances in his routes. So I don't want to give him too much credit there because I think he still has plenty of room to develop as a wide receiver. The physical gifts that he is coming into the NFL starting with is what you really have to be impressed with. And that'll take me straight over to Alan Lazard, another guy who's on the older side. He's had 4 years of quality production and has improved every season with Iowa State. He started as a freshman, and he's put up, compared to who we just mentioned, Auden Tate, that only had 65 catches over the last two seasons. Over the last two seasons for Alan Lazard has had 140. So the production difference is significant. And Lazard does not bring the overall physical ability that Auden Tate does, but he still brings plenty of height. He's 6'5". If his weight is correct, it's over 220 pounds, which means he has a decent BMI and overall thickness. He's not going to be the speedster. So if you want to compare him to an NFL type of guy, it would be more of a Brandon Marshall, a guy who's not really going to beat you up downfield, but is going to beat you up just once he has the ball in his hands. Moving on, once again, Christian Kirk. This might actually be one of my favorite players in the draft. And you are going to hear a lot of people say he's not a big-time athlete. He can't play outside. Well, what I would actually turn around and say to him, you had a Christian Kirk that came into Texas A&M as a freshman and unseated, say what you want about him, he unseated Speedy Noyle, who was a five-star recruit and had plenty of leash at the time. Ricky Seals-Jones, he came in, he definitely usurped him in the pecking order. There was guys that he just came in and he unsat the second he walked on the field. And he is probably going to play in the slot when he comes to the NFL. But why is that a bad thing? Especially in the leagues that we're talking about right now. We're actually talking about a format that I generally play in PPR personally. So he would be rewarded for being an accumulator of stats, just being a compiler that is taking on plenty of receptions. And let's face it, in today's NFL, we're talking about an NFL where three wide receiver sets is standard. Again, I'm not going to speak on where he's going in the NFL draft, but there's still plenty of usage for these type of guys. He has decent hands, quickness, an explosiveness when he's coming off the line of scrimmage. He doesn't have great play strength, but I do think that he can be a reliable target for his quarterback and just someone who can bring a little bit of aggressiveness along with the finesse that position requires in the slot. Going big a little bit more, and this will actually be Tyler's guy, Equanimeous St. Brown. And the people who love him will compare him to AJ Green. It is what it is. The people who don't like him will compare him to a Malachi Dupree. I don't know if either of those extremes are fair to him. And I think it would be a disservice just to put him in one of those two boxes, because St. Brown does have the bloodlines. His father is Mr. Universe, so a former Mr. Universe. And so his family knows how to physically work out, how to work. Whether it's in the NFL or any other sport, it's nice to really have an athlete with bloodlines to some type of sport, and he definitely has it there. His whole family is actually going to be turning the college stage and eventually the NFL on its head. He has two younger brothers that are just as, if not more, physically gifted than he is. This time last year, St. Brown was the guy. Some people were saying he was the wide receiver coming into this season. I never really bought him that much, but again, you have to look at the actual season for him. And while he was at Notre Dame, they took a serious step back from DeShone Kizer. Say what you want about DeShone Kizer with the Browns. He was actually a quality college quarterback and was able to do good things for St. Brown. And when he moved on, I believe Winbush was the name of the quarterback at Notre Dame and didn't do him any favors. This season was a lost season for St. Brown. And if he can start to get that buzz back again, and he did leave early. He left with his last season at Notre Dame. He had 33 catches for 515 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's just not the production profile you want to look for. And even if you're going to look at Equanimeous St. Brown's body, you know he's rail thin. I would expect him to put on a little bit more weight if he could be close to 6'5", 210 plus. That would be something that would work very well in his favor. Just be a little bit leery right now, especially if you're in those Devy leagues, about buying into St. Brown right now, because he has so much working against him. My guess would be he's not going to be a day one pick or an early day two pick. And when you start to get into those day three, late day two, day three guys, you really get nervous. So again, we want pedigree when we're talking about these guys. So the next guy I really want to talk about and might be the buzz of draft Twitter right now is DJ Moore out of Maryland. Big Ten wide receiver. So right there, you have to have a little bit of pause. Interesting size. And the reason I say interesting is he's 5'11", 215. So the reason that kind of gives me pause or questions right off the top is that doesn't sound like a wide receiver to me. That actually sounds like a running back, which isn't a bad thing, especially the way DJ Moore plays football. Some of his overall skill sets, he does well using fluidity within his routes to gain separation. He's very impressive with extending plays and getting the yards after the catch. Good hands. Seems to be a good route runner. But the big questions I'll have are his overall measured athleticism. And as I just mentioned with the 5'11", I'm going to be curious just about how he measures in, because that frame is just so odd. And he did have the 2017 season, he had 80 receptions for 1,033 yards and 8 touchdowns, which is impressive. I just have my questions about whether or not is he more than a slot guy. And as I just mentioned with Christian Kirk, there's nothing wrong with being a slot guy. But you have to wonder, with lack of overall measured athleticism, which I do think Christian Kirk can bring to the table, I wonder if he's anything more than Jarvis Landry. Because Jarvis Landry is the slot guy. That if you're looking at someone that lacks the upside to really pull away from a defender, you want him to have the tenacity that a Landry has. And I'm just not sure if Moore has that to his game. So the next guy I really want to bring up is Michael Gallup. And really an interesting case here, because he was a guy who has a little bit of a recruitment background to him. Unfortunately, he didn't have the test scores to really take that next step. But what's interesting about him, it is time at Colorado State. The last 2 years, boy, uber productive, 76 catches for almost 1,300 yards in 2016, and 100 receptions for over 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns. So a little step back in terms of touchdowns going from 14 to 7, but definitely made up for it with with receptions and just being a little bit more of a big play guy. The reason Michael Gallup is so interesting, definitely another smaller school guy, so level of competition. As I mentioned, he has a little bit of a recruiting background, and personally watching his tape, he has so many attributes that I actually love from a wide receiver, and I hope he does end up in that day two range, because he's explosive enough. He seems to have great hands. The body control is something that I think is very impressive with him. And just the ability to gather himself at the stem of in the top of his routes and make the defender miss or misjudge where he's going. It's so impressive to see a guy like Michael Gallup play that I really hope that he does test as well as I hope he does when we get to combine time. Last two guys, and boy, they couldn't be more worlds apart. I'll start with Simi Cobbs from Indiana, and he's a guy that I actually got to see a few times, and he's just interesting to me because he reminds me of Jordan Matthews when he was coming out. And watching him, he has such good hands, and I don't think he's going to be a great athlete. He never had good separation from the defender, but every time his quarterback looked his way, he made the big catches. I remember watching him against Ohio State this past season, and it seemed like he was just a guy that couldn't be stopped. And again, I don't think he's going to be a big-time measured athlete, but there's definitely something to be said about those guys that are just big, reliable targets for their quarterbacks. And I definitely think that's what Simi Cobbs is coming into the draft process. And finally, as I mentioned, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, and that's going to be Richie James. Maybe not a guy you've heard of before. He's from Middle Tennessee State. Very small guy. And when I say small, he's 5'9", 176. So you may be asking, why am I bringing up someone that is that small and may not really be someone who immediately contributes? I personally think that Richie James could be an explosive type of downfield threat right away. And he could also be the type of player that sees the field early and often on kick returns and also on punt returns. He's just electric in space. And usually when you have these guys, they're a little bit more electric. Sometimes they have questionable hands. And that is not the case when you're talking about Richie James. He has very good hands and can definitely track the ball well down the field. They used him a lot in bubble screens, just being able to get him involved quickly as an explosive athlete. And I think he could be someone who jumps onto the stage when we're looking a little bit deeper in terms of our rookie drafts. So that's it. Again, this is just a very quick introduction to the wide receivers. We did once again go over a lot of names, and we'll be going over them more in depth. I'll be putting together something a little bit more firm. I would like to actually start with the Senior Bowl guys, because what'll be nice about them, we will actually have documented heights and weights on those players that are official, or at least as close to official as we can be before the NFL Combine. So that'll probably be where I start, so that we have a bigger picture of what to work with. And when I give you comparable players, that can all be also be something that's a little bit closer, because what I'm reading off of, whether it's 24/7 or another website, those aren't necessarily what these players are going to weigh in at, and we want to dial in as much as we can. So as we wrap up, I do want to again say thank you to our sponsor, the Sit or Start app, a fantasy football app that puts the power of stats and analytics in your hands to make the best fantasy football decisions. It's available on Android. It's available on iOS, the Apple Store. So even though it's not fantasy football season right now, we are going to be helping you put the best players on your team, and the Sitter Start app is actually going to help you make those decisions a little bit easier with the players that you do have. So thank you again for the Sitter Start app for being our sponsor. And if you have any questions, if there's a player you really want me to dig into, please feel free to ask. Until next time, my name is Tim Torch, and you can find me on Twitter at TimNFL. Thanks, guys.